but I just want to say at the outset that we will never arrive at our destination unless there first is a departure from our current location. And what do I mean by that? I shared this verse a couple of Sundays ago at our first impressions gathering. We had about 40 leaders that came out to that after church. And I want to reiterate some of the things that I shared. There are new places. Everybody say new places. There are new places, new relationships, new paradigms that God has for us to experience. But in order to experience the new, we have to acknowledge first that God is creator of the new thing. Isaiah 43, verses 15 to 19 says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel. How many know he is the creator? The creator of Israel, your king. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot, horse, army, and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Verse 18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. And here's the verse that we always quote, not usually quoting the previous verses. Behold, I'm doing a new thing, now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Just wanted to break this down a little bit this morning as I just share my heart with you as we come out of this fast, because as I declared to you, I do not believe that we are coming out of this fast like we went in. And God has some assignments for us, and how we know fasts will get you in alignment. It'll get your heart in tune with him. Isaiah 43, verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your King. If you don't see God as the creator of the new thing, you and I will always have a tendency to despise it and discredit it. The creator of the universe, how many know, is not bound to the way we formerly did things. The creator of the universe is not bound to the way he formerly did things or the formulas we come up with, hoping he will do the same thing if we just follow steps 1, 2, and 3. How you know God likes to mess us up a little bit? You know, I've served as a pastor for 20 plus years, almost 25 years. And you know what I've learned? Just because something worked well at one church does not mean it will work well at another church. That God has a specific anointing, call, plan for every church. What worked at Jesus Culture is not going to work at Real Life. Let me try this side. What worked at Jesus Culture is not going to work here. Maybe there are some principles, you know, some basic principles, obviously, that go both ways. But even when I was on staff at New Life, what worked at New Life didn't work at Jesus Culture. And what worked at New Life, I can't say, oh, just because it worked there, it will work here. Now, there's some principles that might, but sometimes, I say sometimes, but many times, God has a specific plan and a specific way of doing things at certain churches. Amen? I remember going to a church in Phoenix, and I was going in as a consultant. This was in 2016, and I went in there with my consultant plan, just, you know, always going and praying. And I remember when I got there, and God said, that's not going to work. And that's not what a consultant wants to hear. So I was up all night just changing it and asking God. In fact, that's where I got the word visioneer. You guys remember that this is what we call our volunteers here? I got the word visioneer because they couldn't get volunteers at all. But when I cast the vision for what a visioneer is, somebody who releases the vision of the house, that church rallied around it. And so it was just out of that that God does a new thing. I've told Isaiah, our new youth pastor, that we've been doing youth ministry in the Assemblies of God the same way for 25 years. Let's ask God to do a new thing if he wants to do that. Is that all right? We get uncomfortable with the new. Do you guys agree? The creator of the universe is not bound to the way he formerly did things. And this is why the next two verses of Isaiah 43 are important. 16 and 17. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. The Holy Spirit in these verses is bringing to Isaiah's remembrance and his prophetic writings the exodus out of Egypt. Look at it. It says, the Lord makes a way in the sea. Here's Moses as he departs Egypt, facing his first barrier as a church planter. Hello. The Red Sea. He faces the Red Sea, and what does the Lord do? He parts it. He makes a path in the mighty waters, and Israel crossed over dry land. It wasn't a tough mutter or a tough 1,000 that we just had. Who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior? There was lights out on Pharaoh and his Egyptian and hot pursuit attempt to cross over, and the sea closed in on them and wiped the entire army out. This transition through the Red Sea can also be a picture of baptism, which we're going to celebrate in second service today. We're going to celebrate by baptizing four or five people today. Verse 18 says this. It's key to understand this. He just reminds us of something. This is what I want you to see. And then he says in verse 18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. What? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let me ask you this. Why is God telling us to remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old, when he just reminds us of them in verses 16 and 17? You see, this principle in leadership transitions throughout Scripture. It's throughout Scripture, and it's no difference with the leadership transition here at Real Life that has happened the last 9 months. And here it is. Comparison often quenches the Holy Spirit's ability to create the new thing that is needed for the next thing God desires to do. Our memories of the past should be testimonies to encourage us in our pursuit of God's best for today. Do you know if I compared the budget of 2016 with 2018, I could get really discouraged? Can I just flesh this out for a moment? So as a church, we've went from $1.4 million a year to $1 million a year. How many know that's a $400,000 difference? How many know if I meditated on 1.4 at the current place where we're at, it could drive a brother to quit? Anybody else? But I rejoice because today's budget has allowed us, because we're hearing and we're asking God to help us through this, it's allowed us to get in a healthier place. It's allowed us to say, God, what do you want? It's allowed us to send people to where God was calling them to go. It's allowed us to say, God, what do you want? And not only what do you want, but who do you want? And so it's this process that God takes us through as he births the new thing. You see, God's best today doesn't always look like yesterday. And that's when comparison becomes a killer of the new thing. A biblical example of this is the rebuilding of the temple. You can read about the rebuilding of the temple in the book of Ezra, Haggai, and Zechariah. And we read about in these books the restoration of the temple and spiritual revival after the Babylonian exile. When the foundation of the temple was laid, the older people who had seen the former temple wept aloud. How many of you just wept before, right? You saw something that used to be like it used to be like something, and you seen it years later and you said, man, that's not what I remember it like. It broke your heart, right? When the foundation of the temple was laid, the older people who had seen the former temple wept aloud, for it was obvious from the start that this temple was going to be far less grand than was the earlier temple, which had been built when the Jewish state was very prosperous and had great resources. Haggai 2, verse 3, Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Let me ask you, how do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now, listen to the prophetic word here. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. Again, many times we despise the new thing because we don't understand that God is the creator of all things new. Verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? It will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will make a way. God says, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If you break this down, if you break some of these words down, a new thing is something fresh. How many of you could use something fresh happening in your life? How many could use something fresh happening when you leave this church? The word spring forth means to sprout, to spring up, to grow up. Do you not perceive it means will you not recognize it, admit it, or acknowledge it? You see, different phases of our journey require us to recognize, admit, and acknowledge different expressions of God's creativity. When we fail to acknowledge the new thing, here's the key, we end up doing the same thing. So how do we expand the capacity of our heart to receive the creativity of our King? This is the question. This is where I believe we are at as a church. I've shared this with our staff this week. How many know God wants to do a new thing at Real Life Church? Not the same thing, but a new thing. And how does God birth the new thing if we don't have the capacity in our hearts to contain the new thing that He wants to do? I want to get to that. You guys ready? I'm almost done. I shared with our staff on Tuesday this devotion because I believe it'll give you an understanding of the journey that we've been on for the last 9 months and where God is leading us and how He's going to get us there. I want to preface this by saying I've received so many words of encouragement about Real Life Church expanding, exploding, people I don't even know, and experiencing exponential growth. But I'll just tell you this, my concern is really not in our seating capacity, but in our sending capacity. I want to send people out in their purpose. I want to see people fulfill their purpose, their destiny in life. It's not about how big I can get this church. It's really about to see God's big plan over your life fulfilled as well. That's my heartbeat. I sincerely believe all the things that people say. In fact, I was just with somebody else, another leader, and they said, I just sense that your church is on the brink of exploding. You have to understand that God is speaking this over us as a body to get us to see what He believes it can be or what we can be together. In order to experience external expansion, however, of any kind, you have to be able to sustain it internally as a leader. You guys hear what I'm saying? If what's on the outside is bigger than what's on the inside, how many know that's implosion, right? So if God exploded us right now, if 1,000 people came to know Christ right now, we would not be ready for it. Would you agree? We would not be ready. We don't have processes. We don't have enough Bibles. We don't have enough cards printed, right? New believers card. We're just starting our new believer. We would be like, let's go. We wouldn't be ready for what God wanted to do. In order to experience external expansion, we have to be able to sustain it internally as a leader. And this is what God has been developing internally here in the soul of this church. Listen, things that we're not aware about, if you're just coming on Sundays, listen, God has been getting this staff healthy, this staff strengthened, our finances healthy, our finances strengthened, so we can be ready for what God wants to do in this next season. And so it doesn't look pretty from the outside, as I told you. Listen, it doesn't look pretty, But how many know, I've said this before, anything that's being pruned doesn't look pretty. It's getting ready to spring forth. It's getting ready to grow up. It's getting ready to sprout. When the external outweighs the internal, there is an implosion. An implosion is this. It's a violent inward collapse. We see it among many corporations and businesses across the nation where a leader, listen, was not living morally, right? Not doing things ethically with the company. And then all of a sudden, a great company in one day, listen, sinks, it implodes, right? We've seen that with Enron and numerous companies across our land. The same thing can happen to churches. And so God wants to expand us with his creativity, but he first has to enlarge our heart's capacity. How are you ready for your heart to expand? Here's the verses what God has been speaking to me. How does he do it? Psalm 119:32. I ran across this verse last week. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. When you enlarge my heart. Two ways God enlarges our heart. You ready for this? God's word of promise, his word, the Bible. How many of you got a Bible? Right? It's God's promises, amen? This is how God enlarges our heart. This is how he says, this is what I have for you, the plans I have for you. How many believe in God's plans over your life? How many believe in the promises? How many of God, over the last 40 days, God's spoken to you through his word? All right, sister, I'm with you. Praise God. How many of God's really spoken to you over the last 40 days? Anybody besides me? This is my favorite thing, when God speaks to me through his word. The other way is prophetic words from God through God's people. And this is what I've been telling you about, leaders coming to me and saying, Pastor Dean and Amy, God's got some great things ahead. There's, you know, God is encouraging you. Listen, because how many know sometimes it doesn't feel good on the way to fulfillment all the time? And so God encourages you to keep you going. And I want to encourage you this morning to let's keep going. Let's keep tapping on what God is asking us to tap on. Let's not quit. Let's not give up. Listen, let's have hard conversations. Listen, let's talk truth to one another. Let's be honest. Let's be transparent. Why? Because God has great things for this house. He really does. Amy and I were in Dallas a few weeks ago, and some of you seen this video that I'm about to share. But we were at a conference, and there were about 2,000 leaders at the conference, and I just briefly introduced myself to the speaker on our way to the auditorium, and we got this word right before the fast started, and I wanted to share it with you because I believe it will expand your heart as it did Amy and I when I heard it. I hope you guys have that video, by the way. Is it in place?
Hallelujah.
There we go. Here's the prophetic word.
I want to pray for the people I met from California. Would you guys stand? I just hear the Spirit of God saying this, that I'm about to lay a new path in front of you. When things go in certain motions long enough, ruts are built. But I hear the Holy Spirit saying, I'm moving you out of the ruts, and you're beginning to cut a new path. There's a pioneering anointing coming on you, even though you're in a place that's established. I hear the Holy Spirit saying that you will have the spirit of a pioneer. And you will have the ability to cut through all the talk and all the voices and all the things that are misunderstood because your eye is on the prize. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying this to you tonight. You must not believe that your effort is in vain. For you will reap if you faint not. And this is a strong word, but I hear the Lord saying, you are going to begin to experience things that nobody else in that region has experienced. God is not giving you somebody else's model. He's giving you your model. For the spirit of a pioneer is upon your life. And this is strong. I hear the Lord saying, put up your map and get out your compass. I'm getting ready to take you somewhere you've never been. Don't try to build this according to that. for this is a new day. It's springing forth. Will you not be aware of it? And I don't know what you need, but I hear the Holy Spirit saying, help is on the way. Help is on the way. The field is too big for you to plow alone. So you will not plow alone. Help is on the way. I see them coming over the hill now. They're actually coming. And just because they don't look like the people you thought they'd look like, they're coming, and they will be the source of help that you've been needing. Ha! I'm prophesying to you, the day will come when there are people that are wounded and broken and people that have been discarded and cast off that are going to become a part of the inner circle of the vision that God's given to you. And because they were forgiven of much, they're going to love much. And because you were willing to trust when nobody else would trust, they're going to trust and move with you in a supernatural anointing. I declare that misfits are about to become kings in Sacramento because it's a new day, declares the Lord of hosts. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah.
Will you stand with me? This word enlarge, what God spoke to me, it means this. It means to be or grow wide. To be widened, to be enlarged, to make room for something. You see, many Christians get frustrated when God wants them to grow wide because a lot of Christians just want to go deep. And I believe God has called us to be a deep and wide church. When I commit to grow wide, it doesn't mean I'm shallow, as some would perceive it to be. I'm actually making room for God's creativity to birth a variety of new things in my life I will need for the future vision. This is the journey I'm on right now. God is doing a new thing in me, and that's how I'm positioning myself in this next season. But when I only want to go deep and I'm focused in on just one thing, though there are seasons God calls me to go deeper on a subject, if I'm only a Christian that's committed to the deep thing, I'll find myself digging a rut and routine that knows everything but leaves no room for God to do the new thing. It's God's desire for us as a church to allow him to do the internal work so he can do the exponential work. I'm going to close with this verse, Isaiah 54:2-2. When we allow God to expand the capacity of our hearts, God then enlarges the capacity of our house. Isaiah 54:2, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense. In the kingdom, God teaches us never to despise the small thing or the new thing. And I just want to encourage you as we come out of this 40 days, and as I already smell that barbecue chicken today, God is preparing us for the new thing. Everybody say the new thing. And I'll just say this, do you not perceive it? Will you not recognize it? Will you not admit it? Or will you not acknowledge it? God is doing a new thing, amen? Will you just lift your hands as I just close in prayer, but that God would expand the capacity of your heart for his creativity so that he can expand the capacity of this house? God, I thank you so much for the people of God, Lord, that you've called here to Real Life Church in this season, God, in this transition season, God, to be a strong house, to be a fortified house, to be a stable house. But God, we give you permission to do the internal work in our lives, God, so you can do the exponential work that you want to do. And we ask you, God, this morning, for the new thing that you want to create in our midst. Lord, whether it's the courageous conversation or if it's a new ministry or if it's a new thing that you're wanting to do from this house, God, we give you a permission. We give you permission to create it in Jesus' name. Start in us, God, what you want to do through us in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Can we give God praise today? Amen. I encourage you guys to come on.